back at your opportunity.
This afternoon, if you would turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, we're continuing our study through the book of Acts, and we've been looking at the Apostle Paul and his journeys, missionary journeys, and this afternoon we're going to be looking at chapter 25 of the book of Acts. We know that Paul, in his last, at the end of his third missionary journey, wanted to go to Jerusalem. He ended up going to Jerusalem, and when he got there, it was the Feast of Pentecost. He had cleansed himself to go to the temple to worship. There were false accusations brought against him by the Asian Jews, and they accused him of desecrating the temple, of causing riots amongst the Jewish people, and also teaching that which wasn't true biblically, none of which was true. They were all trumped up charges, and they sought to have Paul put to death, and because they did not have the authority to do it, they conspired and were going to come upon Paul as he was being taken by the Roman soldiers from Jerusalem to Caesarea. The Romans found out about that, and you remember that he was taken under a very large contingency of Roman soldiers, cavalrymen, and other guards to Caesarea. Paul is in Caesarea. We saw on Wednesday night that he had spoken last Sunday and Wednesday. We saw that he was before Festus, and now he is going to, he was before Felix, and who was the governor. Felix gave his governorship over to Festus, and Paul had been there for 2 years already, under really house arrest in Herod's Praetorium, which was Herod's palace in Caesarea, but he had some freedom, but still they didn't know exactly what to do with Paul. Festus has now become governor, and Festus, remember that Felix, when Paul shared the gospel with him, it says that Felix literally trembled when he heard of the coming judgment of Christ, and that Jesus had offered a means by which he wouldn't have to face that. As Paul speaks to these men, it is some of the saddest things that you can read, their responses. All of them could have received the truth and be set free. As we saw, Felix trembled. Festus, on the other hand, is going to have a different approach. And then on next Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at Agrippa, and his is by far the saddest of all. But let's take a look at chapter 25 as Paul comes before Festus. Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. So, just to pause here, just to give you background, Caesarea is a political provincial capital for the Roman Empire. It had been built, Caesarea Maritima, had been built by Herod the Great, and it's the ruins are still there today, and it's somewhat used as a harbor today, but it's not like it was during this time. It was the main harbor along the whole coast where ships would come in from Rome and all over the world. And so we see that Festus goes there first because it's the political capital, and Jerusalem is really the religious capital. It's where the temple is, and it's where the center of Judaism is. Then the high priest and the chief Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. Now, I just want to pause here again. It had been 2 years that Paul had been in Caesarea Maritima, and the high priest, still unforgotten, that they wanted Paul dead. They wanted Paul out of the way. It's interesting. If you want to talk to Orthodox Jews today, they'll say, well, we can maybe take Peter. We can maybe take some of the things that some of the others would say, but we will not listen to Paul. And today, even, they hate Paul. Why? Because Paul had been one of them. He had been one who was being trained for the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was in this inner circle. He had been persecuting Those of the way is what they referred to the Christians as. And they wanted nothing to do with him, and they wanted him silenced. Why? Because his testimony and the fact that he showed that everything that the prophets and the Old Testament and the law said all pointed to Jesus, and that Jesus had come to fulfill it all. And he who had been persecuting Christians now is one of the chief missionaries in the Christian church. And he was took the gospel, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. So they were still concerned about him. They still don't like what Paul said today. And it says, but Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thereafter. Let them, therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. So just pause again. There's a 10-day period that he stays in Jerusalem, and then it's about a 2.5 or 3 day journey, 2 days probably, to Caesarea from Jerusalem, about 64 miles. And back then they didn't have autos, so they were taking it by a horse or walking. If you walked, it would be 3 days. By horse, it'd probably be two. And we see that when he got back there, the first order of business is to deal with Paul. And so he calls Paul to be brought out to him. And when he has come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. And as I'm reading this account, I want you to know Satan still hasn't changed his tactics. We've got a whole bunch of people in our country right now that are being accused of things they never did. And they're not being allowed to have a proper trial. And those that are accusing them are just insistent that these people be tried and put away forever. And I'm speaking some of the things that happened on January 6th in Washington, D.C. Yet the ones that are bringing the main accusation are the ones that are the guilty ones. And really, this is the case right here. Those that are bringing the charges against Paul are really those that stand guilty before the Lord. They, above all people, should have known the prophets and the writings of the Old Testament, because they had been not only trained in it, but that was their job. They were the high priest and the other priests. They were the Sanhedrin that stood in judgment over all Israel. And how did they judge Israel? They judged Israel according to the law and according to the Word of God. The only problem is, as we have talked about before in our studies, we see that the Sanhedrin really were like the liberals today. They didn't take the Word of God seriously. They used it to their own ends and for their own power grab and power play, but they really had no desire to live by it or really see it executed properly, even though they were the ones that were responsible for the temple worship and everything about it. So we see these are the people that come down and they bring all of these charges against Paul, but none of them are true, and none of them can be proved. While he answered for himself, and Paul, as we saw last time, when he stood before Felix, he answered for himself there as well. And so he answers for himself, he says, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. In other words, I have broken no laws. I haven't broken the religious laws of the Jews, or the temple laws. I haven't insulted or broken laws against those that would be the leaders of the Jewish establishment. And I haven't broken any Roman laws. And so all that Paul had done was preach the gospel. Now, they looked at this as breaking the Jewish law, because they believe that the only way you could be saved is through works. And this is very interesting why they believe that. Because at the heart, the Sanhedrin, and specifically those that were in charge of the temple, the Sadducees, They gained tremendous wealth through having people come and do all the things according to the law. Much like the Roman Catholic Church today, the Roman Catholic Church today will have you pay penance for your sins. And they'll have you say so many Hail Marys and so many Our Fathers. And they'll also have you light so many candles, and then they'll ask that you would give donation. And if you look at the whole Roman Catholicism system, it's based on works, and it's really modeled much after the Sadducees' control of the temple. And we see that today they are extremely wealthy and keep people enslaved to a religious system that will not save them. And yet they tell them it will. And that was what was happening here. Paul told them the truth. God desired that no man would be held accountable for his sin, but that he could be forgiven, and that's why his son, Jesus, had come to earth. That's why Jesus had gone to the cross. That's why Jesus had paid the penalty, and he who was without sin became sin for us, that all men could be saved. The only problem is you had to receive the gift of salvation, and you had to accept what Jesus had done. The Sadducees and the Sanhedrin would not do that. Why? It would destroy the whole racket they had going. And not only that, they were really motivated not by God, but by Satan. And you can see that they came in the name of the Lord, but they did not follow the word of the Lord, nor did they believe in the truth of that word. So Paul is facing these men, and he says, I haven't committed any wrong against them, against Caesar. I've offended none at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem, and there be judged of these things before me? Now, they wanted him to go to Jerusalem. Why did they want to go to Jerusalem? Well, we've seen that both before he came down the first time, and also they tried to pull the same thing with Felix, and send him back to Jerusalem, try him there. Well, they knew that in Caesarea Maritima, they would not be able to overtake the Roman soldiers, and they would not be able to kill Paul, because he would be protected, and he also would be in Herod's palace or Herod's praetorium, and so consequently it would be just about impossible for them to get at him to kill him. However, if they could get Festus to bring Paul up to Jerusalem and try him there, they would have opportunity to overtake his guards and kill him. Remember, they were so intent upon killing him that while Paul was there the first time waiting to be sent to Caesarea Maritima, 40 men had taken a vow that they would neither eat nor drink until Paul was dead. That is how serious these people wanted to get rid of Paul. Why? Because he was proclaiming the truth of God's word, and really they were being motivated by Satan. I want to tell you today that the more serious you get with God, the more threat you are to the kingdom of darkness. When Paul was walking with these men and persecuting the church, he was no threat to Satan, and he was no threat to them. As a matter of fact, he was doing the very thing that Satan wanted done, and that is the gospel to be people to be discouraged from becoming Christians by persecuting them. Satan's tactics, again, haven't changed. Today around the world, you'll see there are many, many people that are persecuted for their faith. In America, we have been so blessed in that we have not had the persecution that they have had in other nations. However, the day is maybe fast approaching where the church is being persecuted. Much of what you're seeing happen in the world today is a direct assault upon Christians and upon those that would believe in the scriptures and believe in Jesus. The men that are Davos and the World Economic Forum and these other various world organizations for one world government are very, very much anti-God, anti-Christian, and do not want the church to be around. Why? Because the church is a threat to them. They want to control people, and really Satan is the one that is inspiring them, and they do not want people to respond to the gospel. So we see that this is what Paul was facing. They wanted Festus either doesn't understand, but really he does, and he wants to appease the Jews. He wants to appease those that really are not only the enemies of Paul, but they're really ultimately the enemies of Rome. And they're asking him, send Paul to Jerusalem. And he says, Paul, won't you go up there? We'll have the trial up there, and I will go, so you know, you'll be safe. But what does Paul say in verse 10? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Now, why did Paul appeal unto Caesar? A couple reasons. First of all, Paul was a Roman citizen. He had this right. They could not take that right away from him, and Festus would tie Festus's hands. He would not be able to send Paul to Jerusalem if Paul appealed to Rome. He would have to send Paul to Rome to appear before Caesar or the court of Caesar. And as a Roman citizen, you had that right. And Paul, as he explained to Felix, was not just a Roman citizen that had been where he purchased his citizenship, but he was a Roman citizen by birth. His parents were Roman citizens, although they were Jewish. They lived in Tarsus, and he had been born a Roman citizen. So by birth, it even gave you more standing than someone who had purchased their citizenship. And so Paul had every right to appeal unto Rome. Although there was no reason to appeal unto Rome, because he'd done nothing against Rome either, but Paul also knew that if he went back to Jerusalem, he would be they would kill him. And so by appealing to Rome, this would be prevented from happening. But it also puts Festus in a very difficult situation. Let's see what that is. For if, in verse 12, then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar shalt thou go. And after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came unto Caesarea to salute Festus. Now, who is King Agrippa and Bernice? King Agrippa would be the grandson of Herod, and he would be Agrippa Herod. He was of the Herod dynasty, and he had been given the rights to rule over a portion of Israel. He was really acting as the religious king, if you would, over Israel, just as his grandfather Herod had acted as the religious king over Israel, even though neither one of them was of the line of David, nor they had any right to the kingship. They were both, they were all Edomites. They were really descendants of Esau, not of Jacob. And really had no right to the throne. But in order to appease the Jews, one of the things they did do is they became proselyte in their theology. They said they were Jewish, and they listened to the Jewish law, and so that they would be received and accepted by the Jews, even though they really didn't follow the Jewish law. But they were instructed in it, which we're going to see Paul knows when we look at that on Wednesday night. So Herod, Agrippa, King Agrippa and his wife Bernice come to Caesarea Maritima to visit Festus, and Festus shares with them what's the problem. The problem is there's a certain man left in bonds by Felix. Now, he was left in bonds, but he shouldn't have been left in bonds. He should have been set free by Felix. But Felix didn't want to set him free because that put Felix in a difficult situation. And remember, Felix's whole reason for not setting him free was he wanted to be paid a bribe. He was looking for Paul's friends. He was looking for somebody to give him money, and then he was going to set Paul free. I want to tell you, politicians then really weren't much different than a lot of politicians are today. They weren't in it for the truth. They're in it for what's in it for me. And that's exactly what these rulers of Rome were in. They weren't really there to uphold the law per se or to see justice done, but what's in it for me. And that's what Felix's situation had been, and he left him in bonds because nobody gave him a bribe. About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders and the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. To whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that which he is accused, have the accusers face to face, and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. Now, this whole trial is a sham. And this whole requesting Paul to go back to Jerusalem is a sham. Why? They already been face to face before when we saw that Felix was governor. The Jews had come down. They'd make accusations against Paul. Felix could find no merit to their accusations. None. He said the guy was free. So all of that had already been done. Now they want to do it again. That's a violation of Roman law, by the way. And it was also a violation of Jewish law. If you are brought and your accusers come against you and they have no case, there is no case. And that's exactly what had happened. So Paul had already been tried before Felix and brought face to face with his accusers, and they could not prove the case then. They can't prove the case now, and they won't prove it if they go to Jerusalem. They just want him there so they can kill him. And you see here, therefore, when they were come thither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth, against whom, when the accusers stood up, they brought some accusation of such things as I supposed, but had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And so he's saying, their accusations make no sense because they're really a religious issue. It has nothing to do with Roman law, and it really has nothing to do with the Jewish law. But Paul had said they brought accusations against them, and really it centered around Jesus. And they said Jesus was dead. Paul said Jesus was dead, but he is alive now. And Paul had given his testimony before the governors that he had faced and told how Jesus had appeared to him, and as well as he had given it to the Sanhedrin. And that's when they had become so angry when he said that he was that he had been commissioned by Jesus to take the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, he says, because I doubted such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go up to Jerusalem and there be judged in these matters. And the reason he asked that is because it's a religious issue. It's not a Roman issue. Let it go up to Jerusalem. But when Paul appealed to be reserved unto the hearing of Augustus, and that's another, that's not Caesar's first name. That's another title for Caesar. When he had appealed the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow, he said. Thou shalt hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing, when the chief captains and the principal men of the city at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth. Now, this is what we're going to be looking at on Wednesday night, is Paul before Agrippa. How many times do you have to be illegally tried? How many men do you have to be brought before that say you have no, they have no case when there is no case? Well, if things are being done illegally and wrongly and really being inspired by Satan the whole time, I want you to know that although God is in control, he allows men to make choices. And the Jewish leaders had made wrong choices. They chose to follow a world system that was in rebellion against God. Felix and Festus had made the same choices. They'd chosen to follow a world system that was in rebellion against God. And we saw, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, Felix had been so moved that he was literally trembling as he heard about judgment. Why? Because he understood judgment. He understood those that stood before him that he had absolute power and authority, and he could have them executed by the laws of Rome, and there'd be nothing they could do about it. And Paul just said, you one day will stand before the same Jesus and will be held accountable for your life. And you can either have your sins forgiven or you stand accountable before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he trembled as he heard Paul explain the ultimate judgment, because he knew what judgment was. Festus knew a Roman system, and he really had no desire to really even hear about the things of God or the things that the Jews were talking about and the accusations he made against Paul. Why? Because he was caught up in a Roman system, and he liked his position as governor even more than hearing the truth. And that's the way a lot of people are today. They like their position and their power, and they like their authority more than they want to respond to the truth. Just to share with you, it's interesting. I've written a number of times to our senators and called our governor's office about some of the things that have gone on this last year. And it's very interesting. Nobody wants to hear the truth. Why? Because they like their positions of power and authority. And they don't, and they know that if they would stand, like this last time, I think it's kind of ludicrous when you're going on the verge of going into hyperinflation, you give $40 billion to a country that's the most corrupt country on earth, in Ukraine, and no accountability of where that money is going, no, and I called our senators and said, why are we doing this? And the response was basically, well, we've got to help the Ukrainians. And I'm going, what about helping us first? Like I saw at the southern borders. And the response was such, they didn't want to hear the truth. And they said, by the way, what can we do? I said, well, you may be only one vote, and your one vote probably doesn't really matter, because the opposing party is bent on doing this, and they've got the power to do it. But your one vote can stand for something, and that can be the truth. Why do we do something that's so illogical? But that is the world. The world is doing that because the world wants to feed its lies, and they don't want to acknowledge that which is true. And at the heart of it is a rejection of Jesus Christ and God, and a rejection of the truth. If you're unwilling to listen to the truth, you're not going to listen to anything else. And that's exactly where Festus was. That's where Felix ended up. We're going to see about Agrippa on Wednesday. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us understand these things. Help us to apply these things to our lives, and help us to be willing to stand for truth, even if we're the only one willing to stand. And Lord, help us to see that when you are with one, you are the majority. And Father, that you are the God who is in control, and that one day all men, no matter great or small, will have to stand before you and give account of their life, the words they spoke, decisions they made, things they did. Lord, help us to realize that we have been forgiven of the foolish things that we have done and the sins that we have committed because of what Jesus has done for us. Help for us to be bold in sharing with others like the Apostle Paul was, even willing to stand before governors and kings and be uncompromising in the gospel. May we do the same. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to 657. 657.